This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, DraftKings, VSiN, the sports betting network. Just a massive day, not just on Sharp Money, but across VSiN, the sports betting network, because on June 27, 2024, well ahead of the NFL season, ahead of training camps, we officially have dropped our NFL betting guide. You have to become a VSiN pro. It's very simple to do. You go to VSiN.com/subscribe. And look, you're going to get everything. This is a lot of work by a lot of people. A lot of blood, sweat, and energy that goes into this. But frankly, it's just a tremendous opportunity to dive in with plenty of time and come up with some strategies. Now, you can come up with your own, but we've previewed all 32 teams, staff best bets and playoff predictions, NFL award, deep dives, systems, proprietary information. It's all there. And it really is. I had a chance to go over it earlier today, and it really is an absolutely voluminous and enlightening piece of work. If you like sports betting, you like football, I encourage you. VSiN.com/guide. And again, if you want to get that for a good deal, remember, we still got our spring special. Use the promo code SHARP. Okay, we welcome you back. Now, along with the drop of the NFL betting guide, Dustin Sweetelson, downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Again, Sharp Money. Along with the drop of the betting guide today, we across VSiN are having just hardcore June 27 NFL programming. So here's what we're going to do on the program. We're going to have our buddy Will Hill on, and specifically he's going to talk about the AFC East and the Jets, okay, and give you a little taste for what he has in the guide. And then we're going to be joined by VSiN betting analysts Josh Applebaum, good friend of the show. Josh is going to deal with betting splits and talking about the NFL, his Super Bowl prediction, and also the Houston Texans. And then Matt Eumanns is going to join. And Eumanns does such a great job for so many years here on VSiN, and he's going to give us his picks and go through a division as well. So Matt Eumanns, Josh Applebaum, and Will Hill specifically. Dustin and I have two, in particular, two awards we want to discuss. One is the Offensive Rookie of the Year. We're going to give you trends and give you ideas of how to attack the Offensive Rookie of the Year. And then we're going to get into the Offensive Player of the Year as well. Okay? So great job by everybody. That includes Goulet and AD and Mead and everybody over at VSiN.com and everybody that's contributed to the guide. Now it's up to you. You want to go take a look? VSiN.com/guide. We bring in the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, and of course, we're going to talk about the draft. Now, it was unbeknownst to me, but it does appear in 57 minutes, round two of the NBA draft will get underway. So I didn't know. I have to be honest. You told me, Goulet told you. You didn't know either. Neither of us have decided to look. It's a especially you as the producer, I will say. Yeah. Now, I am on day three of no nicotine, and I would like to say what a great mood I'm in, and I'll even start here. I heard your hit with Tim Murray, and Jonathan Von Tobel was exceptional yesterday, so I just want to say congratulations. You did a great job. Your boy's trying to struggle with no Nick.
I appreciate you. Are you doubling up on the caffeine then? Like, how are you making up for the lack of what that was giving you for the last, I don't know, 3 months here?
Man-child, just battling. This is kind of how I am. When I just decide to quit something, I just do it.
Swimming upstream.
That's
right
what
now.
I do.
That's all. You're swimming upstream.
Swimming upstream, it's not the best, but we're going to deal with it. What's up with you? Have thoughts just perfunctory on the guide?
Well, for I'll do the guide in a second. On the NBA draft part two, round two today, that means you and I, my friend, are officially on Bronny Watch. Bronny James, the potential of him getting picked in the second round, where is he going to go? Is someone going to snipe him in the Lakers, or does he sit there and wait and join his father in Los Angeles? That is the one thing I will give you. We have a little bit of juice and drama just because we will be able to live react if Bronny James does get selected today.
Well, yeah, I mean, I believe the Lakers have pick 53.
Yep.
And he worked out for two teams, Bronny James. I'll pull up the odds over at DraftKings. Of course, they've still got the draft odds up there. as we head into round two. But he worked out for two teams, Phoenix and the Lakers. So
yeah,
it's all very calculated.
So
we understand what's happening here.
Yeah, after round one, the Lakers went from a favorite, but not this heavy of a favorite. They're now a 450 favorite to land Bronny James. The Suns are second at 9-1, the Mavericks 12-1, and then 20-1 and on from there.
Okay. Well, we'll keep you updated. We'll have all the picks live. If you didn't know who the overall number one pick was, my assumption is we're gonna struggle together through round two. But you will get the information right here on Sharp Money. That's what I can tell you. I have never seen. We'll get to it in a bit. I want to get your take on the guide, but I have never seen people be like, "That guy stinks." Over and over and over, and have the dude go one overall. And by the way, the market was completely right, because people were talking about, you know, it's going to be Klingon, it's going to be the -500 on, again, I'm not even going to say the French kid's name, Ronson Sarah, whatever the hell his name is, but the market was dead nut. Like, the market was all over it, had it painted. So. Yep. That lets you know exactly how that market works out sometimes.
Yeah, the last time that many Frenchmen got drafted in one day, the U.S. had to bail that country out of a war.
Knew it was coming. Didn't hate it. Thoughts on the guide?
The guide is, it's really magnificent. I have to give everyone credit. It's really nice to be associated with a company that puts out something so detailed that looks so pretty, like optically appealing, and the information's tremendous. I mean, my favorite part is to compare and contrast where everyone is going through their picks for each division, the wild card, Super Bowl, and all that. And then you find out who the contrarians are amongst us. You find out who likes to be different. And to be honest, I thought I was different. And we'll find out later that I am just part of the norm, where everyone else and myself are on the same page with something. And there are a few people with some outliers. I have some details that I learned throughout this guide that we'll touch on later in the program. But it is a fantastic work of information to get you set up to bet on the NFL this year.
Good job by you. Yeah, you try to be. I think you hang your flag. Stick on being a contrarian and being different. I don't know what that is, but you're right. We have tallied up from the guide. We won't give the names. We'll let you go to the guide to understand exactly who. Maybe you have somebody that you like to tail here on the network, but we've got the AFC, the NFC, and we've got our Super Bowl picks, and we'll let you know, where most of the numbers lie and then apply it to the market. I neglected to mention, we're also going to have Halterman on talking NFL as well, part of the family. So looking forward to that conversation with Aaron Halterman as well.
And he did a bunch of deep dives, and he and I exchanged a text where I said, I think I love almost everything you sent over. There's one that I don't love, but I actually love his mindset for the bet that we'll touch on, because when that dude starts diving into numbers, I just trust where he's going to end up.
Yeah, no, he does a tremendous job. So looking forward to all of the guests. And, of course, the big day here with the NFL betting guide dropping across VSiN. Okay, so Risa Sher went number one overall, and here's just a good example. So the Atlanta Hawks, and again, he was -500. Everybody said the same thing. Solid, but unspectacular. Exactly how you want the number one. You win the lottery. They had a 3% chance or a 5% chance, the Atlanta Hawks, to get the number one overall pick. Last year, Victor Wembanyama, from the same country, will change the lot of the Spurs for the next 15 years. And you got a guy that's called solid but unspectacular. But again, he's a 3-and-D prototype. You'd hope for more from a number one overall pick, and they couldn't trade down, so they end up taking Risa Sher out of France, the Atlanta Hawks. Good job by you.
Hey, look, you're a Detroit Pistons fan. You thought they were going to end up with the number one pick this year? I think you were bailed out. I think you actually got lucky here that it didn't go your way, that you're not having the number one pick and forced to make this decision, and they can let whoever fell to them, some generic human being that looks like a creative player in NBA 2K. But I think for you as a Pistons fan, you should say this was luck to not have to deal with this, to settle for someone at number one.
Okay. I'll if that's the way you want to go with it, I will, because we're going to have an opportunity next year to get the number one overall pick, and Cooper Flagg and others. Next year's draft class is going to be much better. I'll just tell you that. Now, we'll come back and continue discussing this, and then we'll launch into nonstop NFL for the rest of the show. I will say this, and I'm guessing you agree with me, Dustin. Why is it that everybody universally agrees with one thing from last night's draft, that at number freaking 17, Dalton Knecht to the Lakers was the pick of the day. Like that, everybody's talking about this being a steal. Most talent evaluators had the 23-year-old from Tennessee who can get buckets at every level, had him as a top 10 grade, and somehow he slips to 17 here and is going to end up in Los Angeles.
It feels like these GMs make these decisions because, remember, there's a lot of 19, 20-year-old kids getting drafted. And my only thought I can think is the reason he falls that far is because all of these GMs are in these rebuilds, because if you keep telling your bosses, the owners, that you're rebuilding, look, my team's so young, you can't expect results yet.
Exactly.
That is a bailout for you and a hedge on how long you can keep that job. So you're able to keep the job a little bit longer by drafting Dalton Knecht at his age and his ability to just go get buckets. You're implying that he's going to succeed right away. Therefore, there should be better results for your team. That's all that's going on there with the GMs. He couldn't have went to a better spot where he can now not be a target of defenses like some other young guys would be if they were asked to produce the way that they do in their first year. He now gets to be a third, fourth, fifth option in a lot of lineup sets for the Lakers. You couldn't ask for more if you're Dalton Knecht.
Knecht at 17 is shocking to me. Immediate contributor. He's a dude that can get buckets from day one. He'll play off LeBron and Anthony Davis, who draw doubles, and he's tremendous. It's a perfect fit. When we return, there were some shocking picks, and I would say one in particular stands out as I think about it. We've got three surprises from each of us from last night's draft, and then coming up in just 49 minutes, round two begins. We'll be on Bronny Watch here on Sharp Money. Don't forget, the betting guide is out. We're back, Sharp Money.
Is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You may have heard VSiN's NFL betting guide was released today, and there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Our all-new NFL betting guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming NFL season, with an in-depth profile of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting trends. You'll have all the tools you need to bet this season smarter. Plus, our experts share their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need to get ahead of the action. So to get the guide, you must become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Here's what I'm going to do for you. For a limited amount of time, you can become a VSiN Pro, which is normally $240, but right now you can do it for $199 with the promo code GUIDE. Plus, we'll throw in an extra month for free. So it's 13 months VSiN Pro access to everything we do, including our daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and all our special edition betting guides. To keep you betting smarter all year long, visit VSiN.com/guide. Right now, use that promo code GUIDE. You get 13 months for $199. That's VSIN.com/guide. Big day, exciting day here at VSiN, the sports betting network. Of course, DraftKings as well. It's NFL guide release day, so we've got plenty to come. We've got Will Hill talking AFC East, specifically the Jets. We've got Josh Applebaum attacking the market from his market-based approach. We've got Matt Eumanns, of course, and then we're going to have Aaron Halterman. So we've got plenty to do. We're just going to quickly recap the takeaways from the NBA draft last night. I would say a little lackluster, not a ton of trades. Has anything gone down today? Maybe you can look that up for me as I start with some of my surprises. Of course, we are now just 44 minutes away from round two of the NBA draft, kind of off the heels of what the NFL has done. They're giving it a shot this year, the NBA. With round two on the following day, we'll have your Bronny watch. LeBron James named his son Bronny, and we'll have the watch where Bronny ends up. Now, quickly on a surprise for me, and I'm guessing for most of you, and that was Zach Edey. Zach Edey goes 9 overall. Look, I'm not saying he was a dominant. He's 7'4". He was a dominant college player. The sport of college basketball and the NBA hardly resemble one another. And Memphis took Edey and took a big swing at number 9. It does have a glaring need at center, And Edie should have a chance to contribute right away. Now, again, he's not going to be asked to be the star. You have Ja Morant. You have Desmond Bane. You have Jaren Jackson Jr. But here's the thing. We know he doesn't have, and he has a very refined game. We know he doesn't have a three-point shot. The issue that I've always had for Zach Edey becoming a pro is limited defensive versatility. Like, you can attack him. The athletes in the NBA will absolutely get him switched up and just take advantage of him. So I think there's a bit of a razor-thin margin on how to use him. But if they use him properly, he could be very effective as a rim protector, a guy that can get you buckets. But again, he is a defensive liability.
Well, and think about this. There's a 2-inch size difference between him and Kristaps Porzingis, and think about how different their games are. One is for the more evolved NBA. One is not. However, I agree. He's still 7'4". That is a big body that can take up space in the middle, draw attention, grab rebounds, and at that size should be able to do something in the NFL. There is a place for him. You just have to use him the correct way. And you're right. They're not going to run an offense through him. In fact, if he rarely touches the ball, that will probably be the optimal way, where let him just get second chance putbacks at that size. But there is a spot for him. Memphis is interesting. I actually thought Oklahoma City would have been really interesting for him just because they lack all traditional size like that.
Any trades, Dustin, just before we get to one of your surprises from last night? Anything happened today that we need to know?
Yeah, there was just a couple people trading into the second round, trading, you know, low guys on their roster to trade back in. I saw Golden State trading, and I think it was Minnesota trading, according to Shams. So Oklahoma's trading Lindy Walters, the third, to Golden State for pick 52. Detroit sending number 53 to Minnesota in a deal that involves Wendell Moore. So nothing major happening today when it comes to all of this.
All right, I thought, and I'll just jump one more in here, and then you could take it. So, you know, the Grizzlies are 9 with Edie, and at 7, the Blazers getting Klingon. I thought that was a huge coup. Now, what's interesting about Klingon is obviously they already have DeAndre Ayton there. So how they end up balancing the two bigs with Portland, they've been awful, obviously. But Klingon at 7... a potential conversation about him going number 1 overall. So to get him at 7, that's obviously tremendous value to us.
Yeah, interesting, because they traded for Adrida, I can't say his last name, from Washington, the Israeli kid. Yeah,
Danny
Adrida. They traded for him as well. So that's a lot of size now to pair with Scoot Henderson as that rebuild really gets going up there in the Pacific Northwest. I thought it was an interesting pick, and it made a lot of sense, too, for them. Just take talent, man. Take projectable talent. Figure out how to work around him. And about DeAndre Ayton, you have to wonder if maybe they're going to try and move him for a wing or someone that can give them some more position flexibility and scoring from the outside.
100%. Now, they traded away 3 first-round picks for Denny. And Denny averaged for Washington, 15 points last year? So he's a guy that can fill it up.
But oh, yeah.
It's just a much different what the Washington Wizards are trying to accomplish. And again, with the second overall pick, they got a guy in, you know, Alexander Sarr, who everybody had for months leading up that he was going to be the number 1 overall pick. I heard Sarr interviewed by a local radio channel there earlier today because I was just curious to hear his answer about not trying out for the Hawks. And he's just like, yeah, I wanted to be a Wizard. This is a better spot for me. I didn't try out for the Hawks. Now, we can be adults about this and understand what he was doing. This is such a different era. He just didn't want to share buckets with DeJounte Murray and Trae Young. If that's going to be the case, he wasn't going to get a lot of opportunities to get buckets. He goes to Washington. He will get a lot of opportunities. He'd rather be the number 2 overall pick.
Yeah, and Jalen Johnson's down there as well, another wing who scores a lot. So absolutely, go to Washington where they're in full tank mode. So there will be plenty of opportunities. That team does not want to win. I know that they traded for Malcolm Brogdon next year. Talked to JVT over on VEASAN Primetime when it went down. He thinks Brogdon's going to be on the move for a potential late first-round pick as well. So I just think it's a situation, if you're a young player and you want to develop, but you also want to get paid later, you will have the stats across the board to do all of that in Washington with the way things are going.
The big guy. All right, give me one from last night.
All right, 3 jumped out to me. 1 right here. I thought Jared McCain to Philly was a really awesome pick. he rubs a lot of the older generation the wrong way because, you know, he paints his fingernails, he sings on TikTok, he has 2.5 million followers, but it feels like those people are forgetting he's a really good basketball player that was at Duke last year and really took major strides when it came to March. He stepped up when they needed him the most in their biggest games, and I'm just envisioning, you know, a backcourt with him and Tyrese Maxey, the shooting ability, the athleticism, the explosiveness. That, to me, intrigues me as another offensive weapon to pair with Maxey back there when we don't know what Embiid's future will be. He's about 30 years old right now, and he's not reliable. I thought that was a fun pick for them to have an exciting backcourt that will run up and down the floor.
If you had the exact, so Rishisher 1, Sar 2, Reed Shepard, a 6'1.5", positionless, like, because he's not a true point, he's not a true two, but he's a sharpshooter, a tremendous, what we're told is he is, does have great hands defensively and a very good passer, but he is specifically a great shooter. But it is fascinating to have a dude like that go 3 overall when, you know, he may be an extraordinary role player with a specific ability to shoot. Stephon Castle, big guy, goes to the Spurs.
I like it.
Out of UConn, again, 6'6", versatile. Could he play point? He played the 3 at UConn. I thought that was interesting as well. It feels like a good spot for him.
Yeah, and he'll be able to get buckets. That's the key. He's going to be able to make things happen. And you pair him with Wemby. I mean, if I'm a young player, I want to be on that floor. All the attention is on Wembanyama. I will be able to get plenty of open looks as everyone converges on him. Just got to knock him down. It's a good spot for him to develop. Although it is Pop, and Pop is getting old. But if he's trying to do something right on his way out of the NBA, he will get the most out of these young guys and help them grow.
You want to throw one in?
Yeah, my favorite draft last night, and I don't know how it's not being talked about enough, is Minnesota. To take the pick from San Antonio, who we just mentioned, number 8, Rob Dillingham, and then to take Terrence Shannon from Illinois at 27. And Shannon had the legal issues, but everything
he was exonerated.
He was exonerated. He's available in the draft. Everything's on the up and up. I'm sorry. When you look at Minnesota in the playoffs, what did they lack? Reliable perimeter scoring, guys who create their own shots, guys who can make things happen that weren't the bigs. Gobert's not going to be an offensive impact. Cat will be, but he comes and goes. To add to Anthony Edwards, Dillingham, who has the upside he has to create with the ball, and Terrence Shannon, who will show up day one and be able to score in the NBA, I think that's an A-plus draft.
I think I'm so glad you brought up Terrence Shannon, because if you watched him at Illinois, just downhill.
Dude.
The reason he slipped is because he played 5 years in college.
Yeah, he's going to show up.
People just don't want to draft a dude in his 20s.
No, he's going to show up and score. That's it.
Yeah, perfect pick for a team that's looking to compete, because he's going to come in with a ton of experience. Totally agree. When we return, remember, we've dropped our NFL betting guide. We're going to have our AFC tallies from the guide coming back here. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, VSiN.com, that's where you can find everything, including the new NFL betting guide, which dropped today. Check it out. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, and betting guides, including the NFL betting guide. In case you didn't hear, we dropped it today. June 27, 2024, we have officially dropped our NFL betting guide, so make sure you go check it out at VSiN.com, along with and in concert with dropping the guide across VSiN and all the programs today. We're having a very special, hey, look, we dropped the guide and we're going to give you a lot of information about the NFL. It's kind of cool right here, summer, but we're going NFL. And so what we're going to do is, coming up in about 12 minutes, Will Hill's going to join to talk AFC East with the Jets. Then we're going to have a market-based approach with Josh Applebaum in betting the NFL. And then we're going to have Matt Eumanns, who does a great job, and also Aaron Halterman. So a lot of specific NFL conversations. Offensive Player of the Year, which is something Dustin's pretty passionate about this year, and Offensive Rookie of the Year, which is something I'm pretty passionate about. So we'll have that as well. We do welcome you back. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Sharp Money, DraftKings, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We are 29 minutes away from round two of the NBA draft starting. So along with the NFL information, we'll keep you updated. Yeah, really the big news as the Los Angeles Lakers are picking 55, Dustin. And I mean, I think it would be stunning if they don't take 55 round two pick. Jokic is an aberration. It would be stunning if the Lakers don't, of course, draft Bronny James there. And we should be on air to let you know exactly what happens.
Sure. Someone calls their bluff or calls LeBron's potential bluff about him wanting to play with his son and takes him.
Yeah, I heard that shtick. I think Legler said it almost like that movie with Liam Neeson.
Taken.
Where it's called Taken. Where essentially they're saying, why don't you, if you're the Celtics, you draft Bronny James and you say, well, you can have him back, but you need to send us Austin Reeves. So essentially hold the kid hostage.
Sure.
Is that the shtick?
Yeah, something like that. Or if you're Dallas, see if he'll really come, right? Dallas take him, bring him over, something like that. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. To lure LeBron is what you're saying?
Yeah, okay. you use it genuinely to get LeBron to your team to put you over the top.
And you could play some mind games, like, I guess, if you really cared about your son.
Yeah,
put that out there.
So he cares about his legacy, right? He'd be like, look, you already won with the Lakers. What if you won one with your son with us?
Now, we are going to discuss the AFC East with Will Hill coming up in just a bit. So what we did is we kind of dug through all the predictions in the NFL betting guide and came out with a consensus. Now, you're not going to have the names as to who picked these teams, but we'll give you an idea of which way the guide is leaning. So let's go ahead, big guy, and throw it up there. We'll start with the AFC.
So we had 21 members of VSiN, hosts, writers, what have you, who gave their predictions for every division, wild card, the whole playoffs, who's going to win the NFC, who's going to win the AFC, and who's going to win the Super Bowl. We'll tackle the AFC here, and to no one's surprise, the most picked team to win the AFC is your defending world champion, Kansas City Chiefs. I assume that does not shock you, Patrick.
And no, it doesn't shock me. 3-1 over at DraftKings to come out of the AFC. So how many did you say? So 10 on the Chiefs. I could just tell you this. I was not on the Chiefs.
No, you did not fall in line with everyone else. I can tell you that. I did. Unfortunately, I'm with Look, the offseason they had, you want to point out that they lose Snead at corner, that secondary might be a weakness of this defense. Here's a misconception in the NFL about defensive backs, and defensive backs don't like this. They're only as good as the people in front of them in the rush. They can only cover for so long. You have Steve Spagnuolo drawing up pressures with his D tackles, with his ends, with his linebackers. I think that mitigates some of that loss by Snead and why this defense has created really good corners over the years. That's why I don't see them taking a step back here in the AFC, and they were my pick to win this league.
I mean, look, you're going for a three-peat. I think you'd have to go back to the 65 through 67 Packers to do such a thing. It's not easy to do, but the Chiefs will attempt to do that this year with the three-peat, big guy.
Oh, and oh, by the way, they actually have weapons now. Like Hollywood Brown with Patrick Mahomes, if Hollywood Brown could ever stay on the field, it is a fascinating option for Mahomes. Him and Worthy, and I know Worthy's a one-trick pony, but when your quarterback can throw it further in the air than everyone else, why wouldn't you want that one trick in your offense? I just think it creates all sorts of issues for defenses having to defend downfield with that, even more for like a 35-year-old Travis Kelce to feast on over the middle.
You know, what it really does is it highlights what an organization the Chiefs are as well. And we can keep those AFC West odds because you're now paying, and you were paying Patrick Mahomes, a big percentage of your cap. So the concept that you're paying one person, I don't know if it's close to 15%, somewhere in there, 13 to 15 to 17%, yet you've still built enough around that and worked the cap perfectly. And you come back after repeating and going back to back, and your win total set at 2.5. You're in divisions -230, and to win the conference is 3-1. That's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, look, they're -230. If you really, really love something enough to bet a -230, this is the one to do it. Like, I looked through the guide. We had everyone pick everyone division. 21 people, as I mentioned before. Just one member of the VSiN team zagged when everyone else zigged and took the Chiefs, and that person took the Los Angeles Chargers. Because the other options, the Raiders with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew, the Broncos working in Bo Nix, there is not a scenario where either of those two win the division, even if Patrick Mahomes gets hurt somehow.
Yeah, it's a cakewalk, and I don't see it from the Chargers. This is literally a what do we have here year for Harbaugh, who's only had success, but they just I don't think the roster's there. This is a cakewalk, minus 230 in division.
Yeah, so when we look at the rest of the AFC picks here for everyone here on staff, a few teams did jump out. The next most picked team was the Baltimore Ravens with 5 total out of 21 votes. Currently 5-1 to win the AFC. And obviously this was a team that you and I were both very, very high on last year. The offseason's interesting. It's year two of Monken, right, by the way, also the offensive coordinator. Derrick Henry comes in from Tennessee. Interesting draft where the whole league lets Nate Wiggins fall to him. Seems like every year in the draft, somehow Eric DaCosta opens up the big board and goes, hey, I'm getting a really good player that falls to me late in the draft on a playoff team. He ends up with Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. They also take Tez Walker out of North Carolina to add to the wide receiver depth. And I know you are also high on the Ravens this season.
Yeah, I'm super high on this team. I really am. And they're sitting 10.5. They're plus 130 AFC North. This is a brutal division. I may or may not have them coming out of the AFC. You said a couple of things. It's not just about Derrick Henry. I love the idea that Monken is now settled in, Jackson is now settled in, and they can just – it's not about instill. It's not about installing an offense. The offense has been there. This is just about picking up where you left off, refining a couple of things. I love the Ravens this year. Love them.
All right. 5 people.
Chip on their shoulder, lost at home in the postseason, terrible performance. I love everything about the way they're coming into the year.
Well, 4 people agreed with you. They were the second most picked team. The third and the last one to receive multiple votes here. I'm kind of surprised by this, and I understand everyone's high on them. The Cincinnati Bengals, 3 out of the 21 voters, had them winning the AFC and going to the Super Bowl. You can get over at DraftKings 7-1 to win that conference. And I get it. You love Joe Burrow. You know what Joe Burrow is when he's on the field. And I think he did a good job last year of creating secondary weapons out of guys like Trent Irwin, who's going to now step in and fill the void left by Tyler Boyd. And the offensive line, they continue to try to add pieces to protect him. But at some point, Patrick, doesn't it feel like Joe Burrow's an injury risk every year and it's tough to bet on and back him going into the season?
100% lost their offensive coordinator, now the coach down in Tennessee. Mike Randall, who sticks to his numbers, is very down on the Bengals. If that does anything for you, of course, our buddy from FTNFantasy.com. The injury concerns up and down. You have to start your conversation with that, but the Joe Burrow injury concerns even more so. Totally agree with you there. Lost their running back,
Mixon,
who had been there for years and years, kind of a bell cow for that organization. Again, I think, and this is a head coach that really, as far as philosophical and the offense, it's on him, but I think just having the offensive coordinator, you lose that piece. I don't love that from them. It's not the greatest offseason, but Burrow's the big addition, obviously.
Yeah, they get him back, but the question is always for how long? Because this is a thing now. It's a track record. He's gotten hurt going back to college, right? It's over and over again. This guy is a guy who's dealt with injuries. And he missed, you know, his rookie year for the most part. So he's coming off a different one. This time it's not his leg. This time it's his wrist. And maybe I just have PTSD because you and I had a futures bet, $1,000 on them.
Thank you.
And it was a big, fat ticket. And they were starting to make it real. And then he got hurt. So maybe I'm a little annoyed from last year that we missed out.
Kind of a big trade. The Sacramento Kings are trading Davion Mitchell and Sasha Vezenkov to the Raptors for Jalen McDaniels. I love Davion Mitchell. I like Jalen McDaniels, but I love Davion Mitchell.
Yeah,
so
love
a trade in the NBA with round 2, 20 minutes away. When we return, AFC East, we're going to jump into it guide-wise, and also the Jets with our very own Will Hill. Coming up next, make sure you go check out the NFL betting guide at VSiN.com/subscribe. It is sharp money.
Is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide is out now, and it's packed with everything you need to dominate this NFL season. We've got in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends that you won't find anywhere else. But that's not all. Our experts have weighed in with their best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Of course, whether you're a season better or just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. And to celebrate the release of the guide, VSiN is going all out today with expert NFL analysis, insider tips, and insight to help you start the season strong. Visit VSiN.com/guide to get your copy of our all-new NFL betting guide today. That's VSiN.com/guide. And it is a very special day as we welcome you back, Sharp Money. Of course, DraftKings, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Dustin Sweetelson. Also a special day because our next guest, VSiN host, Shoulda Bet More, is the podcast at Not The Will Hill. Of course, you can check out Will Hill Fridays with Matt Eumanns on VSiN Tonight, 11 p. to 2 a.m. Eastern, with Dave Ross on Sunday Bet Prep, 10 p. to 1 a.m. Eastern. And, of course, he's part of our NFL betting guide, as he has been for years. June 27th is special. Progressive Guest Line brings you Will Hill because we dropped our NFL betting guide, and it is Will's birthday. So happy birthday, Mr. Hill.
What's up, boys? I appreciate it. And, yeah, it's look, I'm lucky enough to have read the guide, and that ad you read is, I think, appropriate, where no matter how much you know about the NFL, you're going to learn something. And if you're starting from scratch, it's got you covered, so it's really good.
Yeah, I started to scratch the surface of it this morning when I got it, and it's going to take me a weekend to really dig through. It's one of those where you can just kind of open to any page and learn something, so we encourage you to go to VSiN.com/guide right now and check it out. Now, birthday boy, we're going to specifically talk about the AFC East here, because part of the guide, and there's much to it, you've got all your picks, you've got some specials in there, but in particular, your best bet is the Jets to win the AFC East at plus 190.
Yeah, people that listen to VSiN all the time are sick of hearing my handicap of the Jets, my love for the Jets, and maybe I'll get burned, because I thought they'd be pretty good last year, and obviously four plays in, we know what happened, but even as disastrous as it was, they walked away with seven wins. That's with no backup quarterback. That's with Rodgers getting hurt. Now you fortify the offensive line from every different angle, trades, draft, free agency. You're going to get a healthy, motivated Rodgers here. I can't get caught up in what he's doing in June and, you know, all the off the field stuff, this never ending Rodgers cycle of really ever since he got hurt last year. Is he going to play again? What's he doing? Training camp, mini camp, all this stuff. To me, this is a really good team. They're loaded on defense, and there's a massive advantage in the schedule, because if you look at just projected wins for opponents, which is, I think, the fairest way to evaluate strength of schedule, the Jets' opponents are projected to win 120 games. The Bills are 140, and the Dolphins are 142 and a half, give or take where you shop. So, and the New England's at 155. New England's in for a long year. The Jets have a massive advantage in the schedule. The Bills have to play every team from the conference title game last year. They have to play, so that's Lions, 49ers, Ravens, and Chiefs, and they also have to play the Texans, and then the Jets twice, then the Dolphins twice. That's nine of their 17 games. If you look at the Dolphins schedule, and these are their competitors to win the division, Dolphins at the end of the season, and this is a team that doesn't travel well, doesn't play well in cold weather, at Cleveland, at Lambeau, and at the Jets. Tua is not going to hold up in that weather. So to me, the Jets, after San Francisco week one, if they could ever steal that, boy, they are in the driver's seat, because the schedule is pretty easy. And I just like this team. I thought the defense played well last year, even with no help from the offense. And our old friend Michael Lombardi says the best way to play better defense is to play less defense. And I think they'll have a little pep in their step, knowing they don't have to shut everybody out. They're going to just be on the field less. I think this is a really good team. If you can win seven with Tim Boyle and Zach Wilson and whoever else they throw at quarterback, I don't see why you can't win 10, 11, 12 games with Rodgers, even if he's 80% of what he was a couple of years ago. So I think this is just a really good team, a loaded team. They're an easy target. People like to make fun of the Jets. They're never good. The Rodgers stuff people don't like. To me, this team is supremely talented.
Tremendous breakdown and a great point about seven wins. I'm just thinking in particular of when the Eagles went to Jersey last year and they beat them. And that's obviously without Rodgers, 7 wins. You mentioned with nobody playing the quarterback position. Season win total for the Jets over at DraftKings set at 9.5. Of course, you got to pay $1.50 to go over that number. I'm just going to ask a couple questions about the division. So the Jets are your second betting favorite at +190. Of course, the three of them are kind of clustered. So the Bills are your favorites at +170. The Dolphins are 2-1 and the Patriots are a toss at 25-1. Let's just start with the Bills here. I'm with you. I'm down on the Bills this year. Is there a reason in particular on your side?
I've been saying this for years now. I just thought that 13 seconds in Kansas City has really crippled them. It's funny how McDermott's still there. He's throwing everybody else under the bus. Dable's gone. He got another job. You know, he's gotten rid of Dorsey and special teams coaches. He's still there. I don't know that they've ever recovered from that. And they're just a little soft. They've lost pieces defensively. And you just go through that schedule. And I know sometimes it's a fool's errand to sit here in June and break down schedules because you never really know who's going to be good and who's not. And somebody loses their quarterback. Things obviously look different, but just go over that schedule. Chiefs, Ravens, Lions, 49ers, Jets twice, Dolphins twice at the Texans. That's 9 of your 17 games. Granted, if Allen's healthy, and who knows, he's getting older, he runs a lot. Maybe this is the year he gets dinged up. But if Allen's healthy, that probably gives you a floor of like 8, 9, 10 wins. So they're going to be in the mix. I think they're going to be a wild card team. I just don't know with that schedule that they can get to like 11, 12 wins. And I still go back to that 13 seconds in Kansas City. I don't know that they've ever recovered as a franchise from that. They've had bad playoff loss after bad playoff loss at home. They finally got the Chiefs at home this year. They lost. They had the Bengals at home last year. They got pushed around. This team just always comes up short, and your windows don't stay open forever in the NFL.
I totally agree. Feels stale with the Bills. No Stephon Diggs, no Gabe Davis, no Tre'Davious White, no Mitch Morse, no Jordan Poyer, no Micah Hyde. Like, that's a lot of losses from a team where, with the head coach as well, it just feels like it's starting to get a little stale. I like your play of the Jets because also the best defense in division. How about Miami? We talk about the offense, but the defense was also very good last year. Where are you at on Miami?
It's interesting when you talk about Miami. It's almost like, you know, you talk to guys like Fez, anybody who does this does power ratings. You almost need two separate sets of power ratings. You need one set of power rating when they play a cupcake and they're maybe the best team in the league and they're going to beat the bad teams by 20, 30 points and they're just going to dominate. But when they play somebody their own size, they get pushed around. They're a typical bully. So I don't know. I mean, if Tua is healthy, and that's the other thing, he was healthy last year, but that hasn't been the norm. Are you going to get 2 straight healthy years from Tua? You're going to get 36 straight games healthy from Tua? I don't know. Probably seems unlikely. And even if you are, they lost a lot of guys. They lost a lot of talent. Feels like the walls are closing on them a little bit too, because eventually you have to pay Tua, and you brought in Hill. You have to pay Waddle. And again, I go back to that end of the schedule. I mean, I can't get out of my head the way they went to Kansas City, and Tua looked like he's just throwing a knuckleball into the wind. And you're going to play cold games in Lambeau, in Cleveland, in the Jets, big-time games. This is a team that needs home field advantage because they don't travel well and they don't play well when they have to pick on somebody their own size.
You can go check out Will Hill's official plays in the NFL betting guide. I'll just say this. If your Super Bowl prediction comes to fruition, we'll be texting a lot about that. I will look to the NFC South before we say goodbye to you. And you're taking a flyer with the Panthers in the South.
You know, I was going through my picks and it was all chalk. It's almost like doing your bracket in the NCAA tournament. You're not going to get all chalk. That would be that's going to be the upset if you get all one seeds. You always get one curveball. You always get one Texans. You always, and I went through it one year by the odds. You always get like a 5-1 or longer shot. I had Adam Chernoff on my pod last week. So he kind of got in my ear a little bit that he thinks Carolina could be better because of Canales, who got Baker Mayfield and Russell Wilson have career years. If you're going to have a sleeper in any division, I'm not huge on Atlanta with Cousins coming off an injury. Could Carolina get to 9 wins? Just say, hey, and he made this comparison too. It's almost like Jacksonville when after Urban Meyer, where you just throw out the year. Bad coaching, bad environment, everything went wrong. This year they'll be a little more buttoned up. They'll have more of a modern offense, and maybe you see what made Young the number one pick. So I don't love it, but if you're looking for a sleeper, I took Carolina to win the division. You know, part of it just to be different. I do like the coach, but part of it just to be different because, again, you think you're going to just sit here and get all the division favorites to win. That rarely happens in the NFL. Usually you get an upset, and that's one division where you couldn't pick the Saints. I don't like Carr. I don't know that Tampa's going to win it again. And I'm just always lukewarm on Cousins and the Falcons.
Yeah, I don't hate it, especially just as you mentioned, the division. But best bet from Will Hill, you can get +190 right now over at DraftKings on the Jets to win the AFC East. Of course, Shoulda Bet More is the podcast. Fridays with Matt Eumanns, who will join us later on our special program today on VSiN Tonight. He's with Dave Ross on Sunday. Bet Prep 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Time, and at Not The Will Hill on Twitter. Happy birthday, brother. Have a great day.
All right. Appreciate you guys. See ya. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Appreciate you as well. Yeah. If you're going to pick a division, big guy, the Panthers in that division, I understand what he's saying too about filling out every division, the conferences, the Super Bowl. You don't want to go total chalk.
Yeah. Look, and then when it comes
that's not the way it's a 50% turnover every year with these playoff teams.
But I love his AFC East pick. I think it's value on the team with the absolute most upside, whereas two other teams have taken clear steps back to me.
Yep, I think you're 100% right. Josh Applebaum, VSiN betting analyst, joins us coming up next. Of course, his market-based approach to the NFL betting guide. Sharp Money.